This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'm going to invite Tim to come and join us. He is going to be talking to us this morning. So, good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Excellent. I will leave you to it.
How are you? Oh, am I still there? Hello, Stephanie. Okay, that's very good. Right, so let's have a look in a bit more depth at this, at our reading today. I think we should start with prayer. So let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for gathering us here today, for hearing your spoken words. May you be with us as we unpick and understand your direction in our lives. Amen. So there are a variety of definitions for the term of yoke that Jesus is talking about here. The definitions for this animal harnessing tool, from the bespoke made snug fitting model through to the well-worn patinaed old friend and on to the hard edged, heavy and cumbersome farm tool that digs into the wearer and chafes the neck and shoulders. And I'd like to compare this spectrum for a moment to the range of personal footwear with comfortable slippers at one end, some sporty running shoes in the middle, and that painful pair of shoes that sit at the back of the wardrobe that you will never wear at the other end. Yokes are generally made for two or more animals, and the working technique is to pair a stronger animal with a weaker one so they can pull together with the stronger one taking the lead. My question today is, what yoke is Jesus offering us, and how do we wear it? Or are we going to leave it at the back of the wardrobe? Traditionally, scriptural scholars regard this chapter at the beginning as the beginning of the Jewish rejection of Jesus. In my Bible, this chapter 11 is titled Jesus Teaches About the Kingdom, with the subtitle for today's section, Jesus Promises Rest for the Soul. And that sounds like the slipper option to me. Jesus was talking to a mainly Jewish crowd who had become burdened and suppressed by their religious leaders of the day. The Ten Commandments that God had originally given the Jews via Moses had been supplemented in more recent years with hundreds of other rules and regulations created by the Pharisees and the Sadducees to advance their status and keep them at the top of the social order. This was a hard yoke for the people of God to follow, possibly more suited to the back of the wardrobe. Earlier on in this chapter, Jesus denounces Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum for ignoring him. And that is probably the starting place for the yoke. Jesus can't be ignored. In verse 6 of this chapter, Jesus says, God blesses those who do not fall away from me. Like comfortable slippers, it's a yoke to keep on. But what did Jesus say about wearing this yoke? And where else in the Bible can we find out about how to get alongside Jesus in the harness? So elsewhere in Matthew, Jesus says, this is Matthew 6, verse 33, his instruction is, seek ye first the kingdom of God above all else. So my observation in life is that we can easily lose sight of that during our busy days and our consumerist culture. I know that I have a tendency to focus on what's in front of me during the day, and everything else comes to one side, especially the thoughts of Jesus and his will in my life. But I know if I have Christian radio playing in the background or playing in my van, that interrupts my focus and makes me think about Jesus. I hear songs of praise to him, and I hear discussions about what Jesus means in people's lives. We also know that Bible reading and prayer are important, and modern neuroscience suggests that our brains are most receptive to being refreshed first thing in the morning and last thing at night. This is called the alpha phase of brain renewal. So putting aside time each day for these pursuits does become like a comfortable pair of slippers. Further in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus says, "Do to others what you would like them to do for you, or do to you." This is the battle cry for charity and a loving heart. And I don't know if you, but every time I go to my weekly shop, Mark Kostick's Bible talk about giving generously rings in my mind. And a generous giving, particularly in the food bank, for me is a perfect fit for this side of the harness. I like the running shoes. In chapter 12, verse 31, Jesus says, "Love your neighbour as yourself." So this is another discipline of the yoke. And we know that Jesus did not mean loving the neighbours we like. And then we have the instructions from the Beatitudes. That's Matthew chapter 5. And there we find the instructions for being humble, being merciful, having a pure heart, and working for peace amongst others. And these two are conscious acts that we need to practice. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, further down from the Beatitudes, Jesus tells us, "If you are even angry with someone, you're in danger of judgment." I'm particularly conscious of this one, as I spend hours in London's traffic. It's so easy to dehumanize another person when they are not in the same metal box as you. Thankfully, this instruction from Jesus does create a different perspective to those interactions, and I try to wear that whenever I can. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus says, "For when two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." To me, that's saying corporate worship is a must, weekly if possible. It's the big affirmation of the week, like we are here together today as one, worshipping God. It's in front of others. It's wholesome. It's what God wants to see. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, so this is Paul speaking now, and he has this lovely sentence where we find him saying, "Let God transform you by changing the way you think." I've recently joined a home group, and reading the Bible in a group and hearing others talk about their understanding of God's word is incredibly wholesome and impactful. Paul goes on to say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank him for all he has done." So neuroscience is showing us that gratitude is a peace bringer. Drops your heart rate, produces chemicals in your body that make you feel better. It can positively change the neurological pathways of your mind and soothe the soul. And what better way to say thank you than to God himself? There is always something in creation to be thankful for. In this declaration from Jesus of how to walk, and how our walk with Christ might look, the overriding promise from Jesus, the overriding promise he offers us, is that he will teach us in a humble and gentle way. In his teaching, we will find rest, and that Jesus will be there with us, pulling from the front in the bespoke version of our yoke, making it easier to bear. So we profess his name, study the Bible, follow his lead, and worship him alone. And he will become the comfortable option for our lives. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your way. Thank you for your instruction. Lead us by your Holy Spirit through our days. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. We'll hopefully see you later at church. Let's continue in prayer.